Welcome to DMV Connect, a weekly local community radio broadcast produced by the Salem Media Group radio stations of the Washington, D.C. area, WAVA, WWRC, and WRCW. DMV Connect exists to connect you with leaders that serve in our community nonprofit and business organizations and in government. We are addressing issues that are important to our Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. area. Now, here's your host for DMV Connect, Rob McDonald Davies.
Welcome into DMV Connect. I am your host, Rob McDonald Davies. On today's show, we will be addressing the issue of homelessness in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., shining a light on an issue that can so easily be left in the dark. And to do that, we've asked the president and CEO of Central Union Mission, Washington, D.C.'s oldest private social service agency, a man with more than three decades of experience in the nonprofit sector, including leadership roles with organizations such as Global Impact, Prison Fellowship, World Vision, UNICEF USA, and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. His personal involvement with the homeless community spans more than 20 years, including serving for more than 10 years as a pastor on the streets in Washington, D.C., where he preaches every Wednesday night and leads a weekly outreach with food distribution and a time of fellowship. His Christian faith and ministry commitments have also allowed him to serve in a variety of ministry roles during the past 25 years. He's an ordained associate pastor and elder at the Orchard Church in Arlington, Virginia. Welcoming to the program, Mr. Joe Metamano, the president and CEO of Central Union Mission. How are you today, Joe?
Doing just great. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. And this is something that has really been talked about a lot over the last couple of years, especially with the COVID pandemic. And homelessness is something that is always on the front of our mind when you're driving through the community and you see people that are experiencing homelessness. Talk a little bit about what you guys are doing at Central Union Mission, how long you've been in operation. Give us a little background of what where you guys come from.
Well, you're absolutely right. Homelessness has been around pretty much since the beginning of time. Our work to try to address homelessness and poverty here in the nation's capital dates back 137 years. We are the oldest private social agency here in town, and our work really kind of fits into a couple of different buckets. One is addressing homelessness by simply providing shelter. So we've had a shelter in Washington, D.C. during our entire existence. Right now, our shelter has the capacity to do almost 150 people every single day. And in addition, people get the beds and the meals and the showers. But more than that, our facility really is a full service center. People can come and get medical treatment, dental treatment, psychiatric care, addiction support, job training, and a variety of other things. In addition to that, we work on poverty. There are so many families living under the poverty line here in the nation's capital. And what we do there is provide food and clothing assistance. Our food pantry currently serves almost 5,000 people a month. We have a transition home in Southeast D.C., and then we have a little gem called Camp Bennett. This is out in Maryland in the suburbs. It serves primarily as a summer camp for children coming out of low-income families. So they get to come out to our camp for a week at a time, have a full camp experience, and then be administered to with the gospel as well.
Now, before we go too much in depth about what you guys do at Central Union Mission, because we definitely will get there, I wanted to lay a little bit of a background for our listeners on the current landscape of the homelessness situation in D.C., really the greater D.C. metro area. I know that back in 2010, we really reached the, you could say, crescendo of the homelessness crisis. According to statistics that I saw, at least from the mayor's office, the problem was at almost 10,000 individuals experiencing homelessness in the streets of D.C. It's now, at least through the latest stats from D.C. government, down to 4,400. But can you kind of describe what we're dealing with? Are these people mostly suffering from addiction issues? Are these families that have been put out by the ever increasing prices of rent and home ownership? What does this population look like of homelessness people experiencing homelessness in the D.C. area?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we really have to look at the data carefully. The numbers you're referencing come from what's called a point-in-time count. Most major cities have a point-in-time count or a pit count every year where a fleet of volunteers will go out and actually try to count homeless people on the streets and in the shelters. I always tell people you got to look at these numbers as an estimate because it certainly is not comprehensive or scientific. Now, if you look at the data here in Washington, D.C., it does seem to indicate that there's a trend of homelessness declining over the past 10 years. their 4,000 number that you just cited, I'm skeptical about, because the last two PIP counts were done under COVID situations. The count was done differently. The homeless population in D.C. is much more dispersed now. I don't see any evidence that homelessness has decreased that much in the past 2 years. That said, I think when you look at the trends in Washington, D.C., the number of homeless women and families has continued to go down in recent years, and that's due in large part to the good efforts of the mayor and the district administration. They have focused a lot of their energy and resources on women and families, and I do believe that those numbers have gone down. But what the data consistently shows is that the number of single homeless men continues to go up. The last number that I think is reliable in this regard is that there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 people at any given time on the streets in Washington, D.C., and I believe that continues to be the case. Now, the reasons people end up homeless are, there's a variety of reasons. You mentioned a couple. Yeah, it's absolutely true that sometimes addictions, mental health issues are things that put people on the street. Sometimes it's that people, they lose their job and they don't have a safety net.
Right.
They don't have anything to fall back on and they end up on the street. And then honestly, sometimes it's people who have just made a lifetime of bad decisions, have some dysfunctional thought patterns that keep them out of jobs, keep them, you know, being kicked out of their residence, and that ends up putting them on the street. So the issues are complicated. And here's the thing. There is no silver bullet to this. I mean, I think all of the agencies that I work with, our goal is to try to eliminate or solve homelessness. But there is no single solution, no silver bullet
sure. To
do that. And that's really where the mission is trying to be most strategic, is addressing those root causes of issues.
Well, and it is really jarring when you put into perspective, you know, 6,000 people at any given night in the District of Columbia are sleeping on the streets. I think a lot of times, if you have a roof over your head and a warm meal in your stomach at the end of a long day at work, you just don't think about it. And in this society nowadays, and just how distracted we all are, it really becomes an afterthought. And really putting a number on that and saying, you know, 6,000 people a night, it's pretty jarring. It's something that makes you think about it and focus more on the problem at hand.
You're right. And on top of that, when you look at the rate of poverty here in the nation's capital, the last reliable number I saw indicated that somewhere in the neighborhood of 17% of the population in Washington, D.C. lives below the poverty line. That's significant. Now, think about Washington, D.C. It's a relatively small city, 20th largest market in the country, 67 square miles, largely a white-collar working environment here in the nation's capital. That's an awful lot of homelessness and poverty to pack into a small market, which makes the issue even more pronounced, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely, when you're, you know, you see the beauty of our nation's capital and you see the National Mall and the Capitol building, the White House and all of that, and then you just look around the corners and you see the despair on so many of our fellow citizens' faces, and it really does again make you think about the situation in more of a serious light. Now, you had mentioned COVID in terms of the count, or at least some of the issues with the latest counts from the D.C. government itself. Talk about how COVID has affected the homeless population. You know, you'd obviously think that with the amount of job loss that we've seen over the last couple of years, displacement, a lot of mental health issues arising, a lot of addiction issues arising, at least in my own train of thought, I would think that that issue would probably increase. What have you guys seen at Central Union Mission over the last, 24 months in relation to COVID and homelessness?
Yeah, my goodness. Our work is hard enough. You add a pandemic on top of that, and it certainly made things very difficult, whether that was at our shelter or at our food pantry. So let me talk about those two things. So our shelter typically had about 170 people a night staying there. And when the pandemic happened, our goal from the beginning was to provide a place for homeless men to come and be safe from this virus. And so we really were determined and came up with a great strategic plan very early off in the process. And we did a number of things that today seem mundane, but back then were cutting edge. For example, using those no-touch thermometers to check the body temperature of our guests every day.
I remember you couldn't find those at a CVS anywhere.
we were one of the first organizations to actually start doing that. And that was really just to monitor for symptoms, because if you think about it, if you have a congregate living facility, 170 guys sleeping in beds next to each other, you bring one person in with the virus, how fast is that going to blow up?
Sure.
So we did that. We implemented some really cutting-edge technology. When you walk into our building, you go through something that looks like a metal detector. It actually uses ultraviolet light to sanitize your skin and your clothing to make sure you don't have any live viruses on you.
Wow.
Our HVAC system has scrubbers in it, sanitizing doorknobs every day. We still wear masks every day at our shelter. For a long period of time, we're actually having everybody tested for the virus every single week. Up until very recently. And the good news is that the shelter, for a good 2-year period, we did not have one single case of COVID at our shelter.
Which wow.
We consider
that's incredible.
A miracle of God. Yeah, it really was amazing. And a lot of hard work went into that, but we believe that the Lord was with us through that. The only time that that broke down was when this Omicron thing happened.
Sure.
As you know, Omicron didn't care if you were vaccinated or not. It was very pervasive. There was a few weeks where we were having about a dozen cases, but it was short-lived, and we haven't had a case now in 5 weeks. So I feel like we really did a good job on that. Now, on the flip side, the difficulty had to do with the families that we support through our food pantry. And you're absolutely right. There was a lot of job loss that happened during COVID, and the data suggests that most of that job loss was happening in the lower end of the economic spectrum, people that we serve. So people that were losing their jobs because restaurants closed, food trucks closed, other services were closing. So it was creating even more stress on a stressed, low-income population. And so we saw nearly a 100% increase in the number of people coming to our food pantry for food assistance. And most of that increase were from people who were losing their jobs due to COVID. Now, praise God, we still had enough food to support everybody. There was a little dip there for a while when everybody in the suburbs was going out and buying out grocery stores, and there was no food left over for the grocery stores to give us. But that balanced out pretty quickly, and we've been able to serve everybody throughout it. And our concern is even if just 10% of that population who lost their jobs doesn't have the ability to reclaim a job, they're going to end up homeless, and it represents a potential explosion in homelessness in the nation's capital.
Yeah, and no doubt about that. Before we get any further, I did want to address the question that I think a lot of people have on their minds that, you know, we as, again, people, I'm extremely fortunate in my life, extremely blessed to be able to go home and have shelter and have a place, you know, that I call my own and food on the table every night. What are a few things that most people think about the homeless population that just really aren't the facts? You mentioned obviously a lot of the families that are involved in this situation. You know, I think a lot of times people just immediately jump to addiction issues on the streets, but there are so many other layers of this issue that aren't discussed. Talk about something that maybe the average person wouldn't know about the homeless population.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, homelessness, you'd be surprised how many people, how quickly they could fall into homelessness because they don't have the safety net that maybe most of us have the privilege of having. But yeah, it's not always just mental illness or drug abuse or anything like that. You know, I've heard so many stories. One that comes to mind is a gentleman who was staying with us was a caregiver to his grandmother. And that was his full-time job, was caring for his grandmother in her home. When she passed away, all of that support of the house and everything else went away. He had no plan to actually have another place to go, and he ended up homeless and ended up staying with us. I know other people who, you know, they get into an argument with their spouse or with their parents or with the grandparents that they're living with. The relationship breaks down. They get kicked to the curb. They have nowhere else to go. So oftentimes it can be broken relationships that put people on the street. So, you know, there's a range of things. Job loss is huge. And if you think about the nation's capital, the amount of affordable housing that's available in D.C. has gone down. So you got a reduction, as neighborhoods are being gentrified, a reduction in the amount of affordable housing.
Sure.
Plus, in the nation's capital, again, a largely white-collar area, the number of jobs that provide a livable wage to largely uneducated people is pretty small to begin with, but then you add COVID on top of that, and there's a reduction there. So any combination of factors could really put a person on the street if they don't have you know, a background and a family and a checking account to support them through that crisis.
You're listening to DMV Connect. I'm your host, Rob MacDonald Davies. We are joined currently by the president and CEO of Central Union Mission, Mr. Joe Metamato. Now, we've talked a little bit about the situation in D.C. We've talked about a little bit of what you guys do at Central Union Mission in terms of your day-to-day operations, the food pantry, the history of your organization. I want to go a little bit more in depth now. How do we fix this issue? I know you guys are trying to develop and grow into a place where it's not just a temporary shelter for people, and you already have different programs for people experiencing homelessness to work them back into society. What are some of the things that you guys are doing at Central Union Mission to be able to address the underlying issues that are creating these problems for people to get them in this situation in the first place? And how are you helping them get back on their feet?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's a great question. You know, as I said before, it's not a simple problem to solve. If it was a simple problem, society would have already solved homelessness. So obviously, this is a difficult issue. Here's the deal for us, is that, you know, through our entire existence, we have done everything that folks would expect that an organization like ours would do, providing the beds, the meals, the showers, the groceries, the clothing, all of those basics, meeting people with their immediate needs. And we're going to continue to do that until Jesus returns and tells us to stop. But here's the thing. As we look at the landscape in Washington, D.C., as we look at it strategically and say, okay, what's really going to make a sustained, measurable difference in trying to reduce homelessness and poverty in Washington, D.C.? What is the answer there? What more can we be doing? Now, what we know is that simply providing more beds is not going to solve the problem. Simply providing more food is not going to solve the problem, because both of those things, there's an abundance of that here in the nation's capital. What we look at is, what are the systemic causes of homelessness, and what can we contribute to help address those systemic causes? And what we're doing, and what we've already learned through at least 10 years of piloting and doing this kind of work at our shelter, is what makes a difference is if you are able to help people with their addictions, if you're able to do job training, job placement, education, all of these things are what equip people to actually get back on their feet and live successful lives. And while we've been doing that at our shelter for a while, our latest expansion, and something we're very excited about, is called the Comprehensive Family Resource Center. We have this facility now on Bladensburg Road in Washington, D.C. It's available to anybody who comes to our doors. It's the same facility where they come and get food and clothing. But we are blowing out all those resources so that people can come to get back on their feet. So a person can come and get their groceries and clothing, and while they're there, we have a whole suite of co-located services. A lot of the things I've already mentioned: treatment for addiction, job training, job placement. A person can get their GED or high school diploma with us. Helping people with parenting. We're doing parenting classes. Helping people find daycare for their kids, because it's almost impossible for both family members, both parents, to work if you can't find affordable daycare. Healthcare as well. We're providing through partnerships with Georgetown University Hospital and others, providing healthcare. And another really important one, if we look at the current population that we serve at our family center right now, about 50% of them are Hispanic, not native English speakers. So we're also doing English as a second language training there, which also makes them much more marketable for a job. We know and we believe that these types of wraparound services is what's specifically and dramatically needed in Washington, D.C., and it's those things that can create a sustainable difference in the population.
And when you talk about it like that, you know, you are really at the core of this specific program trying to address the issues that, I mean, I guess you could call it poverty to homelessness pipeline that exists before it even gets started. You know, creating these family programs and focusing on these families' futures and laying down the groundwork so that, you know, they as a family, those parents don't experience homelessness and have to put their children through that, and those children don't have to experience that. And I'm sure I don't have the statistics right right in front of me, but I'm sure that that makes a marked difference in the lives of those children moving forward in their ultimate success. And that's something that should be obviously highly commended. I see you guys 5,700 people at a time, or excuse me, per month, or you're just driving or distributing clothes to as well. I mean, this is really at its core addressing the fundamental issues at the earliest stages in lives that the effect that you're having on these children. And I think that's really, truly an incredible thing.
Well, that's a great observation, and you're 100% correct. What we've seen is that when we are able to provide even just the basics, food and clothing, shoes, when we're able to provide those things to a family, in a way, that is standing in the gap between them and homelessness. The reason being is this. It means that they're then able to take whatever income they have to apply it to their rent. We're alleviating their expense burden, which means they're better able to keep up with their rent burden. And in effect, we're helping to keep them off the streets. Now, oftentimes it's more complex than that, but that's why we're doing this whole range of services to help people get to a better place in life.
Now, Joe, obviously you guys are the longest serving private social service agency in the greater DC area. That, I think we should focus on the private part of that. You guys run on a lot of community donations, a lot of volunteer work. Can you give us or give our listeners some information on how they can get involved with you guys, whether that be through donations or whether that be through volunteering their time?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. We are 100% privately funded. We don't receive any money from the District of Columbia, the federal government, or any other government agency, and that's by choice. They love what we do and they want to support us, but that's just part of how we're structured. So we survive based on the generosity of individuals, corporations, foundations, and churches, and so forth. You know, we are a Christian organization. Everything we do every day is done in the name of Jesus Christ. Our job is to glorify him in everything that we do, and he supplies everything that we need. We never have gone without, and it's because of the generosity of individuals. Now, if your listeners want to get involved with us, it's pretty easy. There's lots of ways for people to contribute, whether it's contributing with your financial support, donations of clothing, donations of vehicles. Volunteering is a big thing. We do somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 volunteer hours every year, and that's everything from serving food to doing skills-based volunteering, teaching people math and basic skills like that. The best thing for folks to do, and I don't normally like to punt people to a website, but we actually have a pretty great way of getting people plugged in. If folks go to missindc.org, again, missindc.org, there's a whole platform there where folks can see what the volunteer opportunities are, whether it's one person or whether it's a company or a school that wants to bring a large group of people. We can accommodate it and they get a meaningful experience. But these days, honestly, with the economy, our cash needs are significant. It costs a lot of money to do what we do, so we always appreciate that too.
Well, Joe, real quick, before we let you go, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on DMV Connect today. Could you just leave the listeners with one call to action, one just something to break down the walls of some of the perceptions that we may have of the homeless community or people suffering from homelessness that we need to really focus on moving forward with our lives?
Yeah, I thank you for asking that. Here's the thing, is that people who are experiencing homelessness or poverty, they are real people, just like you and me. They have a real life experience. There's some situation that led to their homelessness, whatever that may look like. But they're real human beings. And when we ignore them and when we dehumanize them by not even making eye contact on the street, that adds insult to injury. So what I always ask people to do is to always look upon people who are homeless as if it was themselves and to try to be compassionate, to do unto others as you have others do unto you. Now, I do know that sometimes people get harassed or accosted by homeless people, and that absolutely exists. But the majority of these people are just, you know, hoping to survive day to day by getting a meal through the generosity of people, you know, handing out on the street, that type of thing. So when you're walking down the street, look people in the eye on the street and say, you know, hello and good morning. Just, you'd be surprised how much of a difference that makes. It makes them feel like a human being again because somebody isn't even giving them attention to look at them. It's really just it's a matter of humanity being human.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, that's Mr. Joe Metamano, the president and CEO of Central Union Mission. You can find out more about this organization at missiondc.org. Joe, thanks again for hopping on with us at DMV Connect.
Thanks so much. God bless.
I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it was to have Mr. Joe Metamato, the president and CEO of Central Union Mission, on DMV Connect today. I would urge everyone out there, again, to visit their website at missiondc.org. And also, like Joe said at the end of the interview, take a second to maybe rethink some of those misconceptions or those prejudgments of people experiencing homelessness and try to put a human face on a lot of the issues that these folks are facing. Again, for any comments or guest suggestions, you can always email comment@wava.com or give us a call during business hours at 703-807-2266. That's 703-807-2266. I'm Rob MacDonald Davies, and I'll see you next weekend on DMV Connect.
You've been listening to DMV Connect, a production of the Salem Media Group in the Washington, D.C. area, including WAVA-FM, WAVA-AM, WWRC-AM, and WRCW-AM. If you'd like to learn more about this week's guest or organization, please email us at comment@wava.com or call us at 703-807-2266. Tune into DMV Connect every week at this time to hear from community leaders addressing important local issues and needs. From all of us here at Salem Media Group in the Washington area, have a great week.